Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. You know, we all have our favorite verses that we quote or can quote from the Bible. One in particular, just off the top of my head, is, "All things work together for good for those that love God." How many times have you used that one? But since the Word of God is a living text, it's important to look at Scripture in context. Often examining the verse immediately after a selected verse will enhance the meaning. Take that verse from Romans 8:28 that we just quoted, and you find it says, "All things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purposes." So just because you love God doesn't mean everything's going to work out for you. If you're operating in an area you have not been called to work in, it's not. Amen? I know, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, but this is the premise with which John Doc Shear used to write his book, The Verse After the Verse. Dr. Shear examines throughout the book 12 familiar scriptures. He also looks at the verse immediately after to see how it might create a new dynamic in understanding the more familiar verse that's often quoted. As a preacher and also as a published writer, Doc Shear is called a storyteller. He uses examples of experiences which have happened in his life, observations from his years in ministry, and stories that he's accumulated from preaching well over 1,000 sermons. Doc Shear wrote this book in a style that is easy to read for the average Christian just sitting in the pew. The book also comes with a study guide and can be used for small group discussions and even as a sermon series if you want, pastors. Now, one of the endorsers to the book put it this way: Doc Shear demonstrates both his ability as a faithful biblical interpreter and his talent as a storytelling preacher. Reverend Dr. John Shear is the head of staff and pastor of John Calvin Presbyterian Church in St. Louis for the last 15 years. He's a gifted speaker and teacher of the word. His sermons are always deeply based on scripture, but as he unfolds his message, he loves to interject stories that provide understandable and sometimes humorous anecdotes to help better understand the points being made. He finds this helps people to better live out the Word of God in their life. Help me welcome to the program, Dr. John Doc Shear. Doc, thanks for taking the time out of your schedule to come on the program today.
It is my pleasure. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be able to talk about my book, about my ministry, about my faith journey, wherever the Spirit leads us during this podcast.
Amen. Well, Doc, the first question I always start with is this. Tell us in your own words, other than that short bio that I just read, who is Dr. John Shear?
Yeah, well, I became a Christian back when I was 11 years old. My family didn't go to church when I was real young. I got involved in the Boy Scout movement, and my dad, who was also kind of living out his Boy Scout years through me, encouraged me to be an Eagle, to get the Eagle Scout rank. And then one day we were sitting around the kitchen table and my dad said, "You know, there's also this God and Country Award that you can get in scouting. And I think you ought to look at trying to do that." And I was sitting there going, "God and Country, well, don't we have to like go to a church or something in order to do that?" And my dad said, "You know what? There's a Presbyterian church just 6 blocks down the street from us." And so we went to that Presbyterian church. There was a wonderful pastor there who was actually raised in the Jewish faith, but converted. So he's Messianic Jew, converted, went to Princeton Seminary. And so he was the pastor. After a couple of months, he came to our house and talked to my mom, who was born and raised in the Catholic faith, but had a strong faith, and my dad, who was raised Presbyterian. And then he turned to me and he said, well, what's your faith? What do you believe? Well, I had no idea. So he opened up the Bible and he began to share the gospel message. When it was when he finished, he said, "Is this something that you feel that maybe God's pulling you to embrace?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely." So at that point, I became a Christian, and then I began my faith journey. Lots of twists and turns, but eventually I made it into the ordained ministry and have been involved in church work now for over 20 years. And then also felt God's call for me to write a book. And that's kind of got me to where I am at this point.
Amen. How did you get started in the ministry?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I, all through high school, you know, I guess I was one of these high school folks that didn't really get involved in a lot of high school stuff. Mm-hmm. I was so wrapped up in church. You know, I was at church almost all the time, you know, on Sundays, on Wednesday nights, for youth group meetings and things like that. And my dad one time said to me, you know, you have this gift of gab, and I think it's a God thing. And he said, I know you're either going to be a lawyer or a pastor. And he said, I hope you choose to be a pastor because I don't really like lawyers. and so I said, you know, that's important, Dad, but I don't know what I want to do. And so I went off to college and I studied political science. And so I did what everybody does with a degree in political science. I managed the data processing department. And I was still very actively involved in the church. In fact, I became a volunteer youth director at the Presbyterian church that we were going to. And I'd gotten married, had a couple of children. And one day the pastor came in and he said, you know, you really ought to be in the ministry. And he said, our denomination is developing this lay pastor program where you can go for a year of weekends and then you can be commissioned to be a pastor. And that sounded maybe like God was speaking to me. Mm-hmm. So I did that. I got commissioned to a small Presbyterian church, and I guess God had finally gotten a hold of me, and I fell in love with the ministry. Amen. So I was doing this pastoring under this commission program, I went ahead and went to seminary, got my Master of Divinity, was ordained in the Presbyterian Church, and then called to a larger church, and then eventually called to the church that I'm at now. In the meantime, I was so in love with theology and study and getting more and more knowledge about God and the scriptures, that I went ahead and got my doctor of ministry degree. So
Amen.
That's the journey that I've been on.
You use storytelling to make your points in your sermons, and that sounds a lot like someone else I can think of. I mean, he used storytelling to help the common folks understand what scripture truly meant, and they end up calling them parables. I'm just guessing here, but is that where you got the technique from
you, Jesus? You have guessed correctly. Yes.
That's a wild shot, but you know.
As I read the New Testament and read the teachings of Jesus, it was so clear to me that he would take these deep theological constructs and he would turn to the people and he'd say, this is like a man who, and then he would give this story, or this is like a widow who gave a coin. And all of a sudden you could take these deep theological constructs and you could say, well, that makes a lot of sense. I understand that. And so I had heard preachers talk deep theological stuff in their sermons, and I would sit there and try to process it. And I thought, I understand this, but I'm not sure how to relate it. I'm not sure how it works in the real world. And so I decided when I was called to ministry and when I began my preaching life, that I would always fill my sermons not only with sound theology, but with examples, everyday examples, so that people could say, yeah, I get that. I'm able to get that. And so that's, I believe that Jesus was the greatest storyteller around, and that certainly has inspired me to be a storyteller as well.
Amen. How did you come to the point where you knew it was God's will for you to write this kind of book?
I decided that, so let's talk about John 3:16. So okay. That was the verse that Pastor Links shared with me and then talked to me about the saving power of Jesus through God's grace. And that was the verse that led me to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. One day I was reading in the Gospel of John, and I read John 3:16 again. Oh yeah, I know that verse. Everybody knows that verse. And then I stumbled on the verse after that, John 3:17. And I thought, oh, now that's kind of interesting. And so let me share with you. So John 3:16, everybody knows that one, right? You know, it's called the gospel in a nutshell.
Right.
For God so loved the world. And I looked at that and I thought, okay, so that's the message we should be preaching. That's the instructions from Jesus, that as pastors, as teachers, as Christians, that's the gospel message and that's what we ought to be preaching. But then when you look at John 3:17, it talks about Jesus coming into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. And so I began to think, you know, when you put those two verses together, then it sounds like God loves us, God loves the world, that's the message we're preaching, but we really can't preach that message of love and forgiveness of God if we're also going to go around and condemn everyone. And so when you put those two verses together, you get kind of a new dynamic that we understand that we preach this gospel, but we also love one another and we are willing to talk to other people to allow God's presence to be in their life, and we're not judgmental about that. I'm a very strong believer that we have to be careful as Christians to not be judgmental. That's not our role and our responsibility, and that's the dynamic I got out of John 3:16 and John 3:17.
Well, how should a Christian react if something is happening in our culture that we don't agree with, and you know it's absolutely 100% against the Bible? You know, I understand, you know, hate the sin, love the sinner, but how should a lay Christian, you know, he sees something going on and says, no, 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 but how can they communicate that in a loving way?
You know, Jesus is the perfect example of this, because Jesus certainly taught us some very important moral behaviors as a part of society. But at the same time, Jesus was very invitational to people who had been marginalized or people who had a history that was not the best history in the world. And so, you know, we look at that story about the woman who was caught in adultery, and you know, everyone has judged her and everyone wants to throw stones at her because of what she was caught doing, according to the text. Mm-hmm. And yet Jesus comes in and he says, no, wait a minute. If you're going to cast these stones, then you have to be without sin. You know, you're judging someone that you're also guilty of sinning. It may be a different sin, but you're guilty of that. And so then, you know, that caused them to stop. And then what did Jesus do? He went to the woman and he said, you know, woman, go and sin no more. So I think Christians need to voice their concern and objection to behaviors that they find that are not in their understanding and interpretation of the scriptures, but they also need to love people to encourage them to go and sin no more.
Amen. Amen. Well put. Now, how did you select the verses that you included in your book?
So what I did was, after I read John 3:16 and John 3:17 together, I thought, this might make a good sermon series. I love to preach sermon series. And so I thought, yeah, this could be a good sermon series. So I simply made a list of all of the verses that I knew, you know, the verses I knew from memory. Mm-hmm. And then I went and I looked at the verse after the verse. And again, this was a God thing, because I had selected 12 verses that I knew from memory or was pretty close. You know, some of them I knew the exact words and some of them I knew the context, right? And so as I looked at the verse after, it had to be a God thing. It was a spirit moved thing, because I immediately began thinking, what dynamic does this create? And one by one, every one of those verse after the verses created that dynamic. And so I put that sermon series together. And then I had, as I was in the midst of preaching that, you know, I had people come up to me after church and they said, yeah, you ought to write this in a book. and so I love writing. You know, as a pastor, I write sermons every week. I have a blog that I maintain. I'm always writing this, that, or the other. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to dedicate the time and study to do this. Now, what happened in that process is I got an infection in my foot. And I was in the hospital for four different times. with three different surgeries to try to save save my foot and save the infection in my foot. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, all the modern medical treatments did not work. And the doctors came in one morning and they said, John, we've done everything we can. We can't save your foot anymore. And mm-hmm. if we don't remove your foot, we don't know if we're going to be able to save your body. And wow. so I had to have what they call a below the knee amputation of my right foot. Well, you know, that was a traumatic experience, but it happened right at the time that I was starting to put together this idea for this book. And so what happened was God said, you know what? I want you to write this book, and you've got nothing else to do now for several weeks, and you've got the time now to go ahead and write this book. And so that's how it came about.
Wow. Yeah, that's not as drastic, health reason, and people have heard me say this story before, so it's nothing new. You know, I'm a retired cop. I was hurt on the job, working an accident scene and on the highway at a huge rainstorm. I end up getting hurt in the accident scene as well. And eventually had to retire. 3 years later, they said, you know, all these I've had 32 medical procedures since May 12, 2007.
You have me beat.
Well, I'm not in a wheelchair, praise God, but, chasing the bad guys down the alleys and stuff, that wasn't going to happen anymore. But I was sitting there just, with my leg, it was a third surgery on my knee, and I'm, wrapped up, can't do anything. And I said, Lord, what, they're talking about retirement. What do you want me to do? And that's when it came, begin a weekly 30-minute online radio program. Now, this was a faith step by God because I had to have help checking email. Okay. But, we researched it, and we started it, and it grew into the radio station and the podcast and, everything that's coming now. So, God can take what the devil meant for harm and turn it to his good. That is 100% fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me share with you a story that happened to me in the hospital that was, I believe, a godsend message. So I had had the amputation, and they said that I would be a candidate for a prosthetic. So I would wait for about a 6-week period of time for the healing to take place. And then I would be fitted with a prosthetic. And after a while, I would be able to walk and resume my normal activities. Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly had my doubts and my concerns and everything. So one as I'm recovering from the surgery, there's the nurses that were on staff rotated around. So every night I had a different nurse. And I remember this nurse that came in, and she was a wonderful, very, very caring, very friendly person. Took great care in making sure that I was comfortable, that my medication was correct and all of that. And she was in and out for the entire night. And I said to her the next morning, she was about to get off of her shift. And I said, I understand that I needed to have this foot amputated, but, and I know I'm going to be fitted with a prosthetic, but I'm just, I have my concerns and I have my doubts. And she turned to me and she said, let me show you something. And she raised up her pant leg, and she had a prosthetic foot. Hmm. And she had lost that as the result of a car accident. And she said, you know what? Having a prosthetic is no big deal. God will help you through that journey. And on the other side, you won't even notice that you have a prosthetic. Mm. And she was right. She was absolutely right. But that was an absolute godsend to me, to help me get through a very difficult medical period in the time of my life. And I cover that at the very end of the book. It's the 13th chapter of the book about my health journey and about her ministry to me. So,
man, yeah, I mean, God foreknew from the foundation of the world that night your faith would waver just a little bit, and he had someone pre-positioned in place to give you encouragement.
Well, God
saw.
Yeah, and then the next day it was a different nurse, and I never saw her again. Never saw her again. But God used her in that moment to help restore my faith and take away any doubts. The minute she walked out of that room, I had no more doubts. I knew I was going to be able to be fitted with the prosthetic and go back into the active ministry. But I guess in a humorous way, the thing I was really hoping for is that I'd be able to go back and play on the golf course, because golf is one of my favorite pastimes. And yes, the answer is yes. I was able to get back. In fact, I know golf is all a mental thing, but I'm playing a little bit better, you know, since the prosthetic. So I know it's all mental, but at any rate, yes, I was able to, I'm able to resume everything that I was doing before as a pastor, as a husband, as a leader in the church, as a preacher, as a speaker, as a book writer. God is wonderful.
Yeah, I love golf as well. Matter of fact, the first time I ever played golf, I shot a 99.
Wow.
Yeah, I only played 8 holes, so.
Oh. Yeah. So I play in a couple of leagues. So the other day I showed up with, and my partner was there, and I said, I think I'm going to shoot a 37 today. We played 9 holes. Yeah. I think I'm going to shoot a 37. And I said, then I don't know what I'm going to do for the remaining 5 holes.
That was me. Yeah, my grandson, he was like a natural growing up. He was playing golf with me as a cop. You know, I was working midnight, so my buddies and I, we'd get off, it'd be a beautiful day, you know, and they'd say, hey, let's go play golf. And it was summertime, you know, so I'd get him up and you know, we'd go play golf because he loved golf. And he beat everybody. I mean, you know, he was playing from the Reds. He's only like 7 years old at the time.
Wow.
But he'd smoke us. That either showed how good he was or how bad we really were.
Yeah. Well, you know, my son plays as well. And we are partners in another league. So I play in 2 leagues a week. But anyhow, he and I are partners now. My son is in his mid-30s, and he can drive the ball 280, 290 yards. You know, I'm lucky to get it 220 yards, maybe on a good day.
Yeah.
With the wind right and, you know.
A good downhill roll.
Good downhill roll, and it's real dry. And, yeah. So he smokes the ball.
Amen.
You know, I love it. I love playing the game. So.
Yeah, and it's outside. It's exercise.
Yeah. And there's nothing more beautiful for me. One of the courses we play up in the North County area, there are a lot of deer that come across, and there's nothing more beautiful than me standing there on the tee box, ready to tee off, and you're looking at this beautiful fairway, and all of a sudden a family of deer come across, and of course you don't want to hit because you don't want to hit into them, and you just sit there in awe of their crossing, and it, you know, that's just it's a real aha moment for me to see to see God's majesty at work.
Yeah, amen. We in the course we played up here. I haven't played in a couple of years because of the back issues and stuff. But, you know, I loved going out, and we'd have bald eagles making their nests, like right next to the tee box up in a tree and stuff. Oh. It was cool, you know?
Yeah.
I started off with verse Romans 8:28. What can you tell us about a deeper meaning with verse 29?
With Romans 8:29?
Yeah, 8:28 and 8:29.
Yeah, I don't have 29 here with me. What's 29? Because I used Romans 3:20.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. We can go ahead and talk about that one first.
Okay. So, you know, everybody knows Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
And I read that verse and I thought, well, you know, it's the truth. You know, we're all, as Presbyterians like to say, we're stuck in the muckety muck. we're sinned. We're not in company with God. God hates the sin. And so where's the hope at in that verse? Where's the salvation? And so you just read that verse, and everybody knows that verse. But if you read the verse after the verse, it basically said, but you know, God's grace is so powerful that it can reach down through what Jesus did and bring us redemption. Well, there's the hope.
Yeah.
So in those two verses, you have the whole story. You have where we are as human beings in our sinful nature that separates us from God. But, oh, wait a minute, there's Jesus who came to bring us redemption by God's grace. And so that connects the two verses, and it makes a real powerful connection.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And everybody quotes that, you know,
yeah. Oh,
we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where they ended.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, where's the hope in that?
Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with our interview with John Shear, or Doc, as he likes to be called. Doc Shear, he is such a pleasure to talk to. I hope you're getting a lot out of this interview. I know I am. I mean, who'd have thought that you could write a book about the verse after the verse? And the depth of the meaning that would give to your Bible study. Think about it. So many people today, you know, they're quoting these verses of the Bible, you know, if God's for you, who could be against you? But they don't want to do the study about what the purpose of that verse is in the Bible. Yeah, it sounds good that they can quote Bible verses. Praise God. You know, but you need to understand the whole thing. Just, you know, Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, God says. Well, what else goes with that verse? This is such a great book. This is such a great interview. I hope you're getting a lot of it. And guess what? This was just part one of a three-part interview. I had such a great conversation with Doc Shear that we are making three parts out of this interview. So be sure you come back tomorrow. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.